The other day, it was announced that a particular church in a particular denomination that most definitely preaches ye must be born again had made plans to go to cemeteries where memorials were being held for soldiers who had died. And the plans are to go there and protest. To protest and say that the reason these soldiers have died is because God is judging America over its tolerance for homosexuality. Now, in the flesh, I'd like to corral people like that and one by one beat the fill in the blank out of them. That's in the flesh. Let's think about this. We show up and we protest while you and your family and other families are holding a memorial for your sons and daughters who have been killed in battle. And as we're holding this memorial, you show up and begin protesting and saying, God has done this to your children because this nation is tolerating homosexuality. But you know what? I bet the people in that church would love to have the opportunity to turn right around and tell the family members that God loves you and you can be born again, cleansed from your sin, and spend eternity in heaven. Don't you want to accept Jesus as your Savior? It's like, let me get this straight, Mr. Preacher. You tell me that God killed my son in war because this nation's putting up with homosexuality, then you want me to invite that God into my life. Mr. Preacher, there's something I don't understand here. If God's all that fired up mad about the homosexual issue, why doesn't he just kill the homosexuals and leave my boy alone? Can you see how this is? I mean, it's dumber than a screen door on a submarine. Stupid. Let's take this further. Now, I want you to think about this. If we go back into the Old Testament and we read what God has said about homosexuality, I mean, He made it clear, man shall not lie with man as with a woman. You put him to death. Now, that's, you read it yourself. That's what it says. But now, wait a minute. Isn't there something else, probably in the same chapter, I don't remember, but isn't there something else that says something to the effect of thou shalt not suffer a witch to live? Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't expect any correction. Hasn't this nation promoted witchcraft more than homosexuality? Think about over the last, those of you that are old enough, think about over the last 35 years, all of the movies, all of the cartoons, all of the TV programs that have promoted witchcraft and variations of that theme. All of the scary movies. Where's the protesting? I mean, you're supposed to kill them both, the witches or the homosexual. You understand what I'm saying, right? I'm not saying go out and kill people. Don't misunderstand me. But do you see what I'm getting at? Now, I propose this. Don't have to agree with me. It's okay. But is it possible that this nation, more specifically the body of Christ's tolerance for witchcraft, has opened the door for the tolerance of homosexuality. So in other words, we're trying to cut off the bloom, but we're not going to the root. Can you see how this is a double standard? Now, I'm not God, but this is just my what I believe, and if I'm wrong, I can accept it. But I personally believe that God's going to have some very harsh words to say, whatever that means coming from a loving God, on Judgment Day, when Christians, the ones I talked about from that church protesting at these memorials, when they stand before Him in judgment. Now, I'm not saying He's going to send them to hell, but you understand what they're doing? I cannot put into words my feelings. It's like we have turned loose a building full of babies and said, go fix the problem. They don't have a clue what they're doing. And the pastor, with all, I don't know who he is, he might be the most loving man you've ever met in your life. But that guy has no business pastoring a church. He's ignorant. And I'm not saying something here that I wouldn't say to his face. I'd tell him, brother, you're ignorant of Scripture. You don't know what you're doing. You're not demonstrating the love of Jesus. These soldiers that died, if it weren't for them, you wouldn't have the right to stand up here and protest anything. They gave their life so you could have freedom. And this kind of stuff is absolutely ridiculous, but it goes on all the time. And the body of Christ, generally, not all, but it almost seems like maybe 49% are messed up on this whole thing of war and peace. It's like they don't understand. Turn to Matthew 24. Let me show you some things. Matthew 24. You know, you've got people out there, including Christians, that are, you know, screaming, peace, peace, you know, we want peace. And, you know, all we are asking is give peace a chance. I did, and I didn't like them until I got older. Anyway, Matthew 24, verse 6. Jesus says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled. Now stop. That word troubled, it means worried, upset, discouraged, bummed out, depressed, whatever. He says, don't be troubled. Okay, then that means we as Christians shouldn't be troubled. He didn't say like it. He said, don't be troubled. You shall hear of wars, meaning an ongoing conflict, and rumors of wars, stories of one that's about to start. For all these things must come to pass. Must. Do you see this? Must. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Excuse me, Jesus. Did you just say all these are the beginning of sorrows? He says, yes, I did. The wars and the rumors of wars? Do you understand that all these soldiers who have died, it is not God judging America because of the tolerance for homosexuality. It's not God judging America for its tolerance over witchcraft. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. And it's not God's will for these wars to take place. He's just telling you what's going to happen. He's warning you ahead of time. Just like when you warn a little child, now if you touch the stove, it's going to burn. And you can tell them over and over again, but if they touch it, they're going to get burned. Was it your will? No. But did you tell them what would happen? Yes. Now the thing is, when you get into Scripture, you can find out why we have all these wars. Turn to John chapter 10. All this conflict, all this death, all this bloodshed. John chapter 10, it's right here, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's it. That's why you have war. Because you see, man with a sin nature can be influenced more greatly by Satan than can a Christian. You want proof of that? Go back to Genesis chapter 6. Cain kills Abel. I mean, at that particular point in time, 25% of the earth's population got wiped out. Just like that. Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel. Cain kills Abel. He got motivated out of his sin nature. And the same thing happens today. Well, I mean, it's been going on ever since then. Satan does his best to influence people through their sin nature. He can't make anybody do anything. And a lot of Christians, they messed up and they believe that Satan makes people do stuff. He doesn't make people do anything. All he can do is suggest. All he can do is deceive. All he can do, if he could make anybody do anything, he'd have made Adam eat from that tree. Instead of going through all of this deception and lying and everything, he'd have just made him do it. He can't just make you do. You have to be his accomplice. And all throughout history, he finds accomplices. We look at a guy like Hitler, and all we see is what happened in a very, very few short years. But we don't see how Satan worked on him for years and years and years to get him to the place that he could use him like that. Alexander the Great, quite possibly, he may well have been the greatest military genius in all of history. By his early 20s, he had conquered what was then basically the known world. And he made this statement, I'm going to quote it incorrectly, but one of the things that he said was that one of his greatest regrets was that there's nothing left to conquer. The guy, he was brilliant. Now, please don't misunderstand, all of the bloodshed that took place under his reign, I'm not saying I approve of that. What I'm saying is, the man demonstrated genius. But Satan had to manipulate him to use that genius for his sake. Now, to him, he thinks he's just conquering. That's nothing but pride. I want to rule the world. That's all it was. So he finds somebody with a high degree of intelligence. Alexander probably had an IQ that was off the charts. Finds a guy with a high degree of intelligence that's got a sin nature and a bunch of pride, and he says, I might be able to use this guy. Sure enough. The same thing is repeated all throughout history, over and over again. Satan works through people who will allow him to do so. And here's the thing, if you live in a society that actually enhances Satan's influence, then you are multiplying his ability to manipulate people through deception. You say, what kind of a society is that? A society which does not promote the gospel? A society which suppresses Christianity and the gospel? So here we see in John chapter 10, verse 10, Satan is behind all of this, and he works through the sin nature. And the thing is, when Jesus said this is the beginning of sorrows, one thing, folks, you've got to understand, all these wars that are going on, all these things they call conflicts to avoid the use of the word war, give it whatever label you want, okay? Let not your heart be troubled. It's not going to end, okay? Now listen closely to this. And I know some people, there's some people listen to this message, get all upset at me, especially by the time it's over. But the intent is not to upset, it's to get us to face the reality of what's going on here in this world, but to see what solution does exist. But as far as what's going on in the Middle East, now guys, listen up. It's not going to end. It's going to escalate. And as of right now, the recording of this particular sermon It appears as though it is escalating toward nuclear conflict. Now, you can write this down. I'm not prophesying, thus saith the Lord, but I'm telling you what's happening over there. And I'm not going to, you know, go off onto all the politics on these things, but what I'm saying is it's not going to end. You can say what you want. You can protest. You can have your, you know, peace meetings and your peace groups and, you know, Christians for Peace or whatever. You do whatever you want. But guys, it's not going to end. Well, they'll pray it to an end. Pray all you want. It's not going to end. Because you are not going to, through your prayer, change the book of Revelation. And that's where all of this ultimately is headed. None of this is going to... I'm getting ready to show you something that if you really let it sink in, it'll probably amaze you. None of this is going to end until it's all said and done. You say, what does that mean? It's not going to end until you get to, really, Revelation 20. Turn over there. Let me show you this. Revelation 20. It's going to continue to get worse from now on until you get to Revelation 20. You say, Brother Martin, I came in here for a lift-me-up sermon. Now you want me? I feel like going home and digging a bomb shelter in my backyard. Well, I'm not saying don't do that, but all the stuff that we're seeing right now, all this military stuff, it's not going to end. It's going to increase and it's going to get worse. You better brace yourself. See, one of the things I don't want to get way over here into politics, but quite frankly, you can't separate politics from conflict. I mean, it's just, they walk beside each other, okay? The Democrats don't start the wars. The Republicans don't start the wars. People, it doesn't matter what color your skin is, you didn't start the war. They didn't start the war. It's Satan is the one behind this. It's mankind with a sin nature being motivated through the deceptions of Satan. That's what causes this stuff. And it's like people don't get it. But it's not going to end. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. In Revelation chapter 20, and I saw, verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. Now, I'm not going to get into why 1,000 and why turn him loose. That's another sermon. All right, now what's happened here? Let's just put it this way. For 6,000 years, Satan's been deceiving, stealing, killing, and destroying. All right? Then all of a sudden, one day, here comes this angel with a big chain. Clinka, clinka, clinka. Chingy, chingy, chingy. Walks up to Satan, and Satan can't... Now get this. Satan can't do anything about it. And this angel, and I'm sure he puts up resistance, just like a cat that doesn't want a bath. He probably puts up all kinds of resistance, but he can't do anything about it. And this angel chains him up, drags him over to the bottomless pit, opens the lid, throws him in and chains him in it, and closes the lid. And says, and walks off. Now he's in there for 1,000 years. This nation hasn't existed for 1,000 years. Electricity was not used 1,000 years ago. Think about this. 1,000 years ago. 1,000. We're talking the year 1,000. I mean, I'm not going to try to dig up, you know, where were you 1,000 years ago? You know, those things that you see like in the restaurants back in the year such and such and all the things that were going on. But 1,000 years ago, we didn't have the village people. 1,000 years ago, we didn't have radios. We didn't have email. We didn't have anything. 1,000 years, we didn't have cars. 1,000 years ago, we didn't have gas. Well, the kind you put in your car. 1,000 years ago, we had horses and ox and carts and buggies. And do you see what I'm saying? Okay, now, Satan's locked up for 1,000 years. Let's see what kind of impression it makes. Verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Think about this. He's got 1,000 years to think of the fact that there was nothing he could do to stop this angel from chaining him up. No matter how hard he fought, he was totally and completely overpowered. Now, some people may believe that this angel in verse 1 is speaking of Jesus. Okay? Either way, doesn't matter if it was Michael, Gabriel, or Jesus, or whoever. Satan was powerless and could do nothing to stop it. And he gets locked up for 1,000 years. He knows there was nothing he can do. But what happened? The whole time, did he learn his lesson? No. 1,000 years he's locked up in this pit. And the moment he gets released, he goes back and starts doing the very thing that got him thrown in there in the first place. Sounds like a little child, does it not? You tell them no, they do it. You correct them, whatever type of correction is necessary for what they've done. And how many times do they go back and do it again? It's like trying to housebreak a puppy. You know, eventually those puppies catch on. Satan doesn't. And so he gets released and he goes out and he deceives people. Now think of this. For 1,000 years, humanity has been void of Satan's deception. 1,000 years they've lived absent of this. And he shows up on the scene. And his deception is so effective, he is able to convince the people. You know, the past 1,000 years where things haven't been so bad? Well, it's really been bad, and it's these guys' fault. So what you need to do is listen to me. We'll overthrow them and take over. How dumb. But now look. And on verse 9 it says, and they went up in the breadth of the earth, compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Okay, verses 9 and 10, this is when all the wars and fighting stop. So what am I saying? Well, we've got whatever time exists between now and Revelation chapter 11, plus another 1,000 years, plus, however long it takes, let me see, look at this. Verses 8, and really the first part of verse 9 where it says, he goes out to deceive the nations. You've got to understand, this doesn't happen overnight. Verses 8 and 9 represent a time frame that we don't know. Months, weeks, few years, we don't know. But it represents a time frame. So we've got between now and Revelation chapter 20, we've got that 1,000 years, which there won't be the kind of war, but we've got the end of that 1,000 years when it's going to be released again. And it's going to be released in a way that has been unprecedented. Fire is going to come down from God. He's going to deal with it. So what am I getting at? What I'm getting at is this. We've got to understand that these wars are going to continue because Satan is still here and mankind, there's still a sin nature out there. And there's going to be fighting, and there's going to be bloodshed, and there's going to be all kinds of bad stuff that's happened. And until Revelation chapter 20, verses 9 and 10, there's going to be war and death. And sometimes, we're just going to have to accept the fact that it's going to be very cruel, and innocent people are going to die. Here's what I mean by innocent people. People that maybe aren't actually doing the fighting. In other words, the women and the children and so forth. But there's a precedent for this. Let me show you something. Look over in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Israel has crossed over into the promised land, but there's this this city that stands in the way. It's called Jericho. Heavily defended. Heavily defended. And God gives instructions as far as what it's going to take for Jericho to be defeated. So Joshua passes the instructions on to the people. They follow God's directions, and they march around the city the way they're told to, and then on the last day they march all the times and shout the trumpets and so forth, and the walls come tumbling down. Now pick up the story. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 20, "So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpets, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." Now look. "And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword." Put another way, there were no human survivors in Jericho. None. None. The babies, all the way up to the disabled, elderly people. They were butchered. The edge of the sword. They were all butchered. You say, "God have mercy. What in the world is going on here? Why would God say that? Why would God give them that instruction to go in and just kill everything? I mean, even the animals. But the babies? Even the little 2-year-old? Listen, we've got a grandson, a year old. I got to tell you, I can't imagine being the bearer of one of these swords and having to go up to a little 2-year-old toddler and kill it. I'm sorry. Personally, I would have a hard time doing this. But this is what they were instructed to do. You say, "Brother Martin, I've got to tell you right now, I've got some questions about God. I mean, I've read this before, but I've never read this before. Why? Why would God do this?" I can tell you why. Think now. How did Israel get to this place? Where were they 40 years prior to this? They were in Egypt. Now, how'd they get out of Egypt? Well, the power of God. I know, you know. But, humanly speaking, how did they get out of Egypt? You've seen the movie. Who took off his shoes? Moses. They got out of Egypt because of Moses, because Moses obeyed God. Are you with me? Okay. Now, who was Moses? Well, you know, he was a little baby, and all the, you know, 2-year-old children, and they were killed, the Egyptians, but Moses' mommy put him in a little basket, and, you know, and he went. Okay, who found him? Pharaoh's daughter. Where'd she take him? Pharaoh's court, to the palace. How was he raised? As an Egyptian. What'd he do? When he was raised and figured out who he was, that he was not an Egyptian, but he was part of those people, came back to bite Egypt, didn't it? He was raised from a baby as an Egyptian. Then when he discovered his true heritage, the whole thing turned around and he led Israel free. Why did God tell the Jews to go in and kill everything breathing in Jericho? And this wasn't the only time this happened. Here's why. It's because he knew if it wasn't done this way, an anti-Moses would rise up. It would be impossible to raise one of these children in your culture because, number one, that would have been a Gentile. And everybody, even though that baby could have been raised to be Jewish, would have known nothing but Jewish customs. Sooner or later, somehow that child would have known, "You did what to my mom and dad? To my brothers and my sisters? You did what? All the other babies? You did what? You mean I'm not one of you? You're not my real parents?" Can you see what would have happened? That's why this took place. And while it sounds so harsh, it had to happen. Now please don't misunderstand this as though I'm saying God ordains or instructs for women and children to be killed in war. But what I'm saying is, it all goes back to the sin nature and how Satan works through people. This is why you end up with all of this kind of death and destruction. Now, I want you to listen very closely here, folks. We can talk about prayer, and we can talk about anointing, and we can talk about power. But the truth of the matter is, the reason that we in this nation have the freedom that we have is because we have always maintained a powerful military. And a lot of people want to dispute that. But the reason that we're able to meet here right now in this church and have this service is because we've got a powerful military that's kept us protected and kept us safe. Remember what we've shared in the past. Law is for the lawless and force is for the rebellious. God Himself is going to throw the false prophet and the Antichrist, two humans that Jesus died for, God's going to throw them into the lake of fire for all eternity. Law is for the lawless and force is for the rebellious. And if it weren't for the strong military of this nation, one of two things would happen, have happened by now. We'd have been overrun or surrounded. We would not have the freedoms we have at this point. Let me share something. You may not know this. And you can check this out, do your history, search it, you'll find this. In World War I, the war was going on over in Europe. But the United States wasn't involved. In fact, let me just pass this on to you. You can do research and find this as well. Generally speaking, the United States has, all through its history, been pretty much an isolationist nation. We have waited, for the most part, to the last minute before we've gotten involved in a military way. And do your history. Search out all the conflicts, wars, whatever we've had. We've never engaged in military conflict with anything other than an aggressor nation. We have never...
Yeah, but we went over and we invaded over in the Middle East.
We're getting to that. Just do your history. Listen, don't let the lies of Satan perpetrated by the media and the liberal minds change what really happened. Don't let them confuse you into believing that this nation has done something it hasn't all throughout its history. We'd have been perfectly happy being free and independent, but our friends across the waters wouldn't allow it. And I'm not trying to stir up old feelings or anything. What I'm saying is, if you do the history and you search it out, you're going to find these things are true. World War I, the war is going on. In Europe, they're wondering why we're not helping. One of the reasons we were hesitant was because at that time there were a lot of people who still had the Civil War fresh in their mind. We're talking back in the early part of the 1900s here. You still had Civil War veterans that were alive. In fact, if I remember this correctly, there were some Civil War veterans who actually went to Europe to help fight in World War I. I were pretty old. Well, I don't know how they got over there to do it, but I read about that. World War I. The German High Command sent a telegraph to the German consul in Washington, D.C. The German consul forwarded that telegraph to the President of Mexico. Now, it was encoded. The British intercepted the telegraph, and they decoded it, and they passed it on to President Woodrow Wilson. Said, you need to know what's happening. When they decoded the message, here's what it said. From the German High Command, the message was sent to the President of Mexico. Build your army, prepare it, and invade the United States and retake Mexico, New Mexico, or Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona. We will supply you all the aid you need to do this. Now see, this is something that a lot of people don't understand. Check it out, you're going to find this is true. That, when that was made public, it was within, I don't know, like, I'll say months. I don't remember the exact time frame. But that was the straw that broke the camel's back here in the United States, which brought unity in this country because all of a sudden we realized this thing's knocking on our back door. And that's when the declaration of war was issued against Germany and when we entered the conflict. Germany was ready to help arm Mexico for an invasion. We were that close to being invaded. If it hadn't been for our strong military, it would have happened. And back in those days, back in the 19-teens, there were still people fighting at the OK Corral. In other words, what I'm saying, the West was still kind of rugged back in those days. And a strong military invasion would have been able to penetrate very deeply into this country. But if it weren't for the strong military presence of our nation, that would have happened. People talk about what's going on right now as though our president is some kind of a maniac, as though he's a warmonger. The liberals want to climb all over the Republicans. All you want to do is fight and do this. No, no, no. It doesn't matter what your political party is. The bottom line is, if it weren't for... we are headed to something here, okay? Just bear with me in this. It all goes back to what Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. What I'm trying to do is let you guys know that these things aren't going to change. We are living in the midst of a world that is influenced powerfully by the sin nature and a living, breathing Satan who hates you. And he doesn't care what your skin color is. He doesn't care what country you're from. It doesn't matter to him. If he can find somebody who will give in to his deception, he will use them to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't care who it is. He is an equal opportunity hater. It doesn't matter. All he wants to do is destroy. People talk about this thing over in the Middle East, and they don't understand what Satan's been doing. And they think that this thing, you know, when, you know, the forces were sent into, first off, a lot of people weren't, they were pretty upset about Kuwait, but this thing, what's going on right now, over in the Middle East, Iraq, it's going to spread into Iran. Just keep up with the news, just watch it. Getting ready to happen. In case you didn't know it, Iran recently came out and said that they finally are able to refine plutonium and all the other components necessary to develop the bomb. And they're going to use it. They said they will. Intelligence sources, this is public knowledge now, if you haven't kept up with it, intelligence sources have proven that China, North Korea, and Russia have been helping Iran to do this. This stuff's going on right now. It's going to hit the fan, guys. That's why Jesus started off by saying, let not your heart be troubled. Now, this stuff that's going on in the Middle East, it didn't just happen overnight. Here's something you may not know. Well, first off, you understand what all is going on in the Middle East, it's all spiritual in nature. Do you understand that? And the reason that this is going on, just read the Bible. The reason this stuff is going on is because the United States, I don't even know if our military understands this, but what's happening is we are attempting to contain those who have been motivated, inspired, and filled with devils. That's what's going on right now. This is not just about the liberation of Iraq. It's about trying to contain the damage. It's trying to contain demonically inspired people who hate everybody that they don't like. They just want to steal, kill, and destroy. They want to get their hands on nuclear weapons to use it against this nation. Let's think. Where are you getting your technology? Where are you getting your food? Where are you getting your help? You want to vaporize us so you can live in worse, squalid conditions of what you have right now. And Satan's saying, that's right. But they don't know that. I've got them deceived into believing that this is what they need to do. Destroy the source of their help. Can you see this? Let me read some things to you. And again, this is all documented. Everything I'm getting ready to read to you happened as a result of attacks by Islamic terrorists. In November of 1979, a group... Some of you are going to remember these things. Maybe you've forgotten about them. In November of 79, a group of Iranian students attacked and seized the American embassy in Tehran. They took 66 hostages. 52 of those hostages were held for 444 days, and they weren't released until Reagan was inaugurated as president. In April of 1983, there was a vehicle, large truck, packed with high explosives, was driven into the U.S. Embassy compound in Beirut. 63 people were killed. October of 1983, a large truck with 2,500 pounds of TNT smashed through the main gate of the U.S. Marine Corps headquarters in Beirut. 241 servicemen were killed. December of 83, a truck loaded with explosives was driven into the U.S. Embassy in Kuwait. 5 killed, 80 injured. September of 84, a van filled with explosives driven into the U.S. Embassy in Beirut. 24 were killed. April of 1985, a bomb was set off in a restaurant where U.S. soldiers were eating. This took place in Madrid. 18 were killed and 82 were injured. June 14, 1985, TWA flight 847 was hijacked by the terrorists and flown to Beirut. They held it for 17 days. The only person they executed was a U.S. Navy diver. In August of 1985, a Volkswagen was filled with explosives and driven to the main gate of U.S. Air Force Base in Rhine, Maine, and 22 were killed. October 7, 1985, the terrorists took command of the cruise ship, Achille Lauro. How many remember that? And to make a point, they searched for a U.S. citizen, and they found one that was confined to a wheelchair and threw him overboard. April 5th, 1986, in West Berlin, they bombed a nightclub where U.S. servicemen were nightclubbing. Hundreds were injured and 2 were killed. December 21st, 1988, Pan Am Boeing 747 exploded from a terrorist bomb and crashed into Lockerbie, Scotland. All 259 people aboard were killed, in addition to 11 who died on the ground. And on the plane were 35 Syracuse University students and many U.S. military personnel. January 1993, 2 CIA agents were shot and killed as they entered headquarters at Langley, Virginia. February 26, 1993, a rented van was packed with explosives and driven into the underground parking garage of the World Trade Center. 6 people are killed and over 1,000 are injured. November 1995, a car bomb explodes at a U.S. military complex in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. 7 servicemen and women were killed. June of 1996, a truck bomb explodes near the military compound of Dhahran, Saudi Arabia. It destroys a U.S. Army barracks. 19 were killed and over 500 were injured. August 7, 1998, in Nairobi, Kenya, Dar es Salaam, and Tanzania, truck bombs exploded, and it was a simultaneous attack. Truck bombs exploded near two U.S. embassies, and 244 were killed. And what's interesting is that they were able to positively identify that one of the men behind planning this was a guy named Osama bin Laden. This was back in 1998. October 12, 2000, the USS Cole was docked in Aden, Yemen, and a small craft filled with explosives pulled up alongside the ship and blew up. The ship nearly sank, but 17 U.S. sailors were killed. September 11, 2001, the jetliners that were hijacked, you know all about it, hit the Trade Center, World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and then the one crashed in Pennsylvania. Total missing, dead and missing, 2,992. June 14, 2002, Karachi, Pakistan. A bomb explodes outside the U.S. consulate, killing 12. Now that's, you can go to, there's a website that tracks terrorist activities going all the way back into the 60s. And it's not just this nation. I just pulled out the things from this nation. But the concentration of the attacks has been against this nation. And all, everything I read to you was done at the hands or done by those who are Islamic terrorists. Now, people can say what they want about why our military is engaged right now in conflict, but the bottom line is, guys, as Christians, we better open our eyes and see what's going on. This is not about some political agenda. This is not about somebody trying to further a career in this, that, or whatever it would be. This is all about us trying to contain satanically motivated people who want to destroy every aspect of freedom in this world. That's what, and what it really comes down to, it is Satan trying to stop the gospel. That is the ultimate goal in all of this. And yet there are too many Christians who don't understand this. And there are a lot of people who want to just get all upset about, well, yeah, but there needs to be peace. And why can't people just get along? They can't get along. Get it to your head. They can't get along because they've got a sin nature and Satan's still at work out there. If people could get along, I mean, read what I read to you earlier, what we all read there at the end of the book of Revelation. For 1,000 years that bum is locked up, chained in prison. And as soon as he's loose, people are so gullible, they fall in line with him. And it says that the army he's able to amass, it exceeds the sands of the sea. People don't understand this. Why do we need to spend so much money on developing bombs and this, that? Because if we don't prepare to defend ourselves, somebody's going to come along and kill your children in front of your eyes. Listen, let me ask you a question. You know, if you've got somebody that breaks into your house and steals something out of your bedroom, you're not going to like that very well. But what if they keep coming back and keep coming back and they end up taking all the furniture out of one bedroom? Then they clean up. I mean, at what point are you going to do something? Can you see this? Now, lest you think I'm running for political office, turn to John chapter 14. See, here's the thing, man. It really irritates me. It's when Christians join on this stop the war bandwagon. You say, you mean you're in favor of killing? No, please don't misunderstand. I'm not. What I'm saying is, well, in fact, I think it was President Bush, this one, who made the statement, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember the exact words, that it's better to fight them over there and beat them there than to have to fight them over here. And it's, if we don't, this is where they want to be, this is where they want to take over. Do you understand? Maybe you don't follow the news, but do you understand that intelligence has uncovered stockpiles of weapons in this country that terrorists, Islamic terrorists, have put together? Do you not? Just study this out. There are terrorist cell groups in this country that have done nothing yet. They haven't done anything. Their orders are get jobs and blend into society, but wait for your instructions from headquarters. And they're waiting for instructions. They're waiting for the order to attack. They're in this nation now. There was one intelligence sting operation that found a warehouse, I think it was somewhere in Long Island or something. All these guns, these weapons, it was incredible. They didn't find any, you know, nuclear stuff, but they found, you know, these explosives, like all this war stuff. And they were able to confiscate it, and what they said was, this is the tip of the iceberg. This stuff is all over the nation. And they're just waiting for the word, for the attack to come from within. And yet we've got people that are still talking about wanting to downsize the military. They're still talking about wanting to pull the troops out. I don't want people to die. You've got to understand this. But I don't want somebody to come in this church and tell me they're going to cut our heads off if we preach Jesus. You may not understand it, but this country is planet Earth's last hope in the realm of the natural when it comes to Christianity. This is it. And if we don't do our part, this is why this stuff is so subtle and it sounds good. We need peace. We need to talk these things out. Guys, come on, wake up. People have been trying to talk things out now for 2,000 years and it doesn't work. They tried to talk, they talk things out. Hey, listen, I know everybody's got their own opinions, okay? But they talked things out over in Vietnam, didn't they? And look what happened. We pull out. And North Vietnam, backed in part by the Chinese and backed in part by the Russians, moved right in and took over. And that is exactly what will happen in this country and other nations if we don't do our part. I'm not a warmonger. I'm a realist. And I see what Scripture is telling me. And I know that, thank God for our military. You know, Alice has got a son that's serving in Washington, D.C. I've got a nephew that's over in Washington State. We've got people here that have either themselves or they have other family members that are in the military. Now, guys, I'm telling you, I appreciate what they're doing. But we've got to face the reality. It's not going to get better. So, Brother Martin, is there a good point to this sermon? I mean, is there anything uplifting about what you're sharing with us today? Other than the fact that we are going to win in the end. I don't know how we're going to be able to witness it. Personally, I hope we get to witness when Satan's thrown into the lake of fire. God may let us have that, a glimpse of that. I mean, maybe you'll have like grandstands that'll seat bazillions. And Jesus will drag Satan in and let us watch as he's cast into the lake. I don't know. But between now and then, we need to press deeper into God spiritually to walk in a greater anointing. But it doesn't matter how much anointing we walk in, it's not going to stop what God has prophesied from taking place. Laws for the lawless and forces for the rebellious. Fighting is going to increase. Things, Jesus said so. But now look, John 14, verse 1. Here it is again. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now jump to verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See that? There are going to be all kinds of increasing threats of war, attacks. Nuclear this, atomic that. It's going to happen. We're going to hear about it. But he says right here, I'm leaving my peace with you, not the kind of peace that the world gives. In other words, he's saying in the midst of what the world has to offer, you can still experience my peace. Look over in John chapter 16. John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In other words, what he's saying, look, in the world, in the midst of the tribulation, my peace will overcome it. You say, what do you mean, Jesus? Your peace is going to overcome it. He says, I'm leaving my peace with you. It's not an external peace because in the world you're going to have tribulation. It's an internal peace. So that no matter what tribulation is going on in the world, you could still walk in peace every day of your life. No matter what is going on, no matter what you're facing, no matter what your family members are facing, no matter where they're stationed in this world, no matter what's going on, my peace is an internal peace. Look over in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Yeah, but people are killing people. Invasions, wars, fighting. Be careful, worried, upset, troubled for nothing. But in everything, no matter what you face, no matter what it is, no matter how many wars are going on, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He's not saying the other stuff's going to disappear. He's saying you redirect your attention. You wouldn't need the peace if there weren't conflict around you. You wouldn't need the peace if there weren't turmoil attacking. You see this? He says, don't worry about it. Just go to God. His peace, it passes all understanding. But you don't understand. I don't know about all this military stuff, but my body is all messed up. My finances are all messed up. My kids are all messed up. He says, don't be troubled. How can you say don't be troubled? Everything stinks. Why is that? It's because of what you're thinking. He says, don't think on these things. Think on this stuff over here. Whatever's worthy of praise. What's worthy of praise? Jesus. My salvation. Thank you, Jesus. By His stripes I was healed. Thank you, Jesus. My God shall supply. Thank you, Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Think on these things. Meditate on these things. Meditate on the peace that He said He's given to you. Now this is, look over, let's see this in action. Look in Acts chapter 16. Verse 16. It came to pass, as we, Paul and those with him, went to prayer, a damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, brought her masters much gain through soothsaying, the same followed Paul and us, cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. This is a sarcastic thing. She's not endorsing their ministry. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. What do you think they were thinking about? What were they meditating on? Whatever is just, whatever is beautiful and holy and Christ-like, and that's what they were thinking. Whatever is worthy of praise, that's what they were thinking of. Now, would you like to know where this took place? Jump back up to verse 11. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to some wherever, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, Philippians. Where was it we just read about? Don't be troubled. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Think on these things. And that peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. In other words, when he's writing that to the Philippians, I'll guarantee you he was thinking about the time that he was in prison. After he had been whipped and beaten and cast into the inner prison, his back was bleeding, his back was just ripped to shreds. And there he is, locked up in the inner cell, the inner prison, all chained up in the stocks. And he's remembering that moment, but he's also remembering the encounter he had with Jesus Christ in the midst of that thing. He's also remembering the time that he and they began to worship, and they began to praise, and they began to pray, and they didn't hold back. They're singing songs unto the Lord. And as you read on in that story, you see how that there was an earthquake and everybody got free. The prison doors were open. Everybody got loosed. In other words, what I'm saying is this. In the worst of circumstances, Paul could write to the people who lived in the city where he had one of his worst encounters ever and say, hey, don't get upset. Just worship the Lord. Just begin to praise Him. And that is the answer. That is how you get past all of the worry, all of the trouble. That's how you enter into the peace. Is you begin to pray and you begin to cast it over to the Lord and you begin to worship, because it's hard to worship God when all you think about is the bad stuff that's going on in your life and all the terrible things that are happening in this world. Thank God for the military, but thank God for the peace that passes all understanding. Thank God for what we have in this country. And as Christians, we need to stand behind our military. We may not agree with everything that's done politically, but we need to stand behind everything that our government does. It doesn't matter who's in the White House, Republican or Democrat. We need to stand behind everything that is done to protect the freedoms that we have in this nation so that we can spread the gospel to this world. And I thank God that this nation is what it is. It could be better, and we've got a lot of problems. And there are a lot of things that could be fixed and ought to be fixed. And we can banter back and forth about who should and should not be the president or the governor or the whatever and the whoever. But the bottom line is this. We live in a nation that has taken a stand over the years and has defended our right to worship Jesus Christ and spread this gospel across this world. And I thank God for where we live, and I thank God for all the people that have served in these wars. And here's the thing, I want you to think about this. How many, over the years now, all the conflicts, all the wars, how many soldiers have died defending our freedom? And they're going to spend eternity in hell. They captured in their sin nature the idea and the concept of freedom and died so that we as Christians can spread the gospel. Think about that. They're spending eternity. No chance for redemption. Eternity in hell, destined for the lake of fire forever. And because of what they did for us, we have the opportunity to tell this world about Jesus Christ. Quite frankly, as Christians, we do owe a debt to our nation. We do owe a debt to those who served in the military. You know how we pay them back? By conforming to the image of Jesus Christ to fulfill God's will in this world. That is how we pay them back. To let them know that their efforts were not in vain. So again, to all of you who've been a part of the military and all of you who have served, thank you. To all of you who may serve, thank you. To all of you who have been civilians serving, thank you. And to those of you that you're offended by this sermon, God help you. You need to spend some time with Jesus. You need to get into the Bible and you need to figure out what's going on. Because you're the one that's messed up, not this sermon. One more time. Laws for the lawless. Forces for the rebellious. And I thank God for the force that's been used to secure my freedom. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know what the greatest memorial is? The greatest war memorial? It's hanging on the wall behind me. The greatest war memorial ever was on that cross. The greatest victory in all of history was won. Praise God for the captain of my salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody stand and begin to worship Jesus.